We're nearing the 200 episode mark of EPP bonus episodes with Real Ghost Stories Online, and they just keep getting better and better.
I walked down the hall. Something was wrong. One of the doors to the old classrooms was open. I wish I would have ran past, as I could still see what I saw in my mind today. Standing on top of the desk in the middle of the room, staring right at me, was a little boy. His face was pure white. And when I say white, I mean literally white. And his eyes were very dark, sunken back into his skull.
When you sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com, you get access to every single EPP bonus episode and exclusive video content as well. There's now two ways to be an EPP. You can sign up for $5 a month through our website or follow the link at ghostpodcast.com to become an EPP through Patreon.
I finally decided to talk to this freaking thing and demand answers. Alone, I sat in the quiet and asked if there was anything there. I told it to let me know it was listening.
Membership started just $5 a month with bonus tier options on Patreon at $10 and $20 levels with extras including advanced commercial-free episodes of our regular show, bonus perks, and more.
After a moment, there was a knock on the wall. I was scared but pissed, and I said, "Are you the one who won't leave me and my son alone?" Which was followed by three loud bangs on my wall. I cried and ran and hid. I couldn't do this anymore.
This show can only survive through your support of being an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com and keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a helpful family ghost seems to want to take care of the family dogs. A listener shares of the time they tried to record the voice of the entity that they believe is attached to her brother. A phantom baby. Baby's cries plague a mother, and a Ouija board session leads to a little girl threatening her friends with an axe. Who doesn't do that, though, at one point or another?
And you'll love that one. It's from your hometown.
Oh, great! Stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
It seems like normal crap from where I'm from.
Yeah.
I was threatened with a shovel once.
Oh, wow.
That was fun. It really was over nothing.
And who, how old were you?
10.
Okay.
And I was a sleepover at a friend's house, and he had some of his other friends over that were, I don't know, from another school. Kids I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, you could tell, he had some problems. Very just, you know, I got along with pretty much everybody. Like, I didn't really have enemies. I've never been in a fight in mm-hmm. my life. I'm just easygoing.
Yeah.
Or quiet, one of the two.
Sure.
It's like, that's the options you get with me for the most part, unless you really piss me off. But he was like, just, he was one of those that were just kind of like out for havoc mm-hmm. with no matter who and anybody. And it seemed like anybody that crossed his path he didn't like. And I remember we were sleeping out in, or the attempt was to go sleep in the camper that was out back.
Mm-hmm.
And just to have fun and play game gear and all that stuff. And I remember he was like getting in fights with everybody, and I was just kind of like off in the corner doing my own thing. And he's like, and he starts like threatening people with the shovel.
Yeah.
Everybody just runs out of the thing, and I tripped when I ran out of the trailer. And there he is above me in the camper thing with this giant shovel.
Okay.
Threatening to like stab me with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out of there, but it was like, what the hell?
That's messed up.
Life in Fond du Lac, my friends. I don't know. It's, I don't know. I'm sure there's juvenile delinquents everywhere that will do things of that nature, but that was scary.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear the axe story. Maybe it was a sister or something.
Could have been.
You never know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your story with us, or write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go over to Chris. And Chris says, hello, guys. I had debated on sharing this story as it was told to me by my mother. It involved what we always referred to as the kitchen ghost. And having had experience cupboards and fridge doors opening and closing on their own, I'm inclined to believe her. Mom and I seem to share this sensitivity with the paranormal, whereas my father was quite the non-believer. He'd always dismiss what we'd tell him when it came to the weird and goings-on in the kitchen. However, this one night, Mom and Dad were sitting at the kitchen table writing out a shopping list. Now, at the time, I was about 5, and we had 2 dogs, a Chihuahua and a black lab. So at some point during that evening, while they were making the list, the dogs started pacing and pawing at the doors as they wanted to go out. Dad started to get up, but Mom stopped him as the inside door that leads to the mudroom opened on its own. The dogs didn't seem to care, as they meant they could go to do their business. They both ran into the mudroom where the screen door that leads outside opened on its own next. Once the dogs were out, both doors just slammed shut. Dad was speechless for a moment, then tried to come up with some reason for that to happen. Mom told him that this had happened on quite a few occasions. After a while, the dogs wanted to come back in, and once more, before my dad was able to get to the doors, they opened on their own to let the two in, slamming shut once again, once they were. He never really spoke of this again. The older I got, the more I'd see the cupboard doors open and such. However, when I was about 12, we ended up taking in 2 stray cats. You know, the kitchen ghost activity stopped. Mom and I speculated that whatever it was, it didn't like cats and just left, but that wasn't the only weird thing that happened in the house. I'll have to share those with you later. Thank you guys for the podcast. You both have given such an amazing platform for people to tell these stories. Keep doing what you do, Chris. Oh, there we go.
It's funny that it didn't seem to care for the cats and just kind of decided to leave. Maybe it was allergic to cats in life.
Maybe. Some people have really weird dispositions where they don't like certain animals, like, to a hateful extent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, they go beyond that.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's animals I don't care for that they're just, like, not what I'd have as a pet. But you know what I mean? Like, some people are just like, I hate cats or I hate whatever. It's like, why do you feel that strongly about the animal? Maybe there's probably reasons, at least you'd hope there'd be sometimes, that are somewhat logical.
I could see somebody that maybe had been bitten by a dog when they were young or even older, not particularly caring for dogs. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I wonder what a cat would have to do to make you really hate it.
Yeah. I mean, they can be sneaky and everything, but they're not usually super vicious and crazy.
Mm-hmm.
to develop that much of a hate. Growing up, I wasn't a big fan of dogs. I never had a dog, but most of the dogs that I had interaction with were not well behaved and would knock me over. And I just didn't have good experiences. I can't say I think I ever really got bit by one, but it wasn't positive.
Mm-hmm.
And it took till really being an adult, being around people who had dogs, to go, oh, I kind of like dogs.
Yeah.
And now I like dogs. But it's experience.
Sure.
You know, with those things. I don't know. I mean, I had a cat. I guess just someone had my cat, Murphy. And that was the only experience with cats. I could see having a fear of cats.
Because
that cat would flip out on a dime and made the strangest noises and then would viciously attack until, like, you were able to physically restrain her.
Wow.
But good luck trying to get to a cat and try to restrain it, because they move their heads and they're pretty amazing with how they can fight.
Mm-hmm.
But you would literally have to hold her down and get her calm, you know, or run to another room. She's at the other side throwing herself at the door.
Wow.
It was like a cat possession.
It makes you wonder if something happened to it when it was real little, like before you guys got it.
You would think something. I don't know. She was a little tiny kitten. She was real friendly and cuddly. And then all of a sudden, she would be triggered by noises.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be like a low-flying plane or something like that. And then she'd just flip out. You'd be doing nothing by her. And she would just flip out and then go into attack mode. So something traumatized her, I'm imagining, that was very loud.
Yeah.
That, you know, she immediately went into fight or flight, she was on it. We got her from a farm, so maybe there was something with a piece of farm equipment that freaked the hell out of her and she had to fight to live. Or
maybe she was up in the engine staying warm and the farmer turned it on. I had a cat do that. He lost part of an ear that way.
I mean, that's certainly a possibility. Mm-hmm. I'm cognizant. I'm always concerned about that with our pets if they're in the garage or something, but I always make sure I see them if they're, you know, they're out there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Ryan writes, and hello, I've always loved paranormal stuff somewhat regularly. I'd go into ghost moods where I would hear, read, see, or otherwise get sucked into a good scary ghost story. And that's how I stumbled across your group. Anyway, I've been listening to several podcasts now, and through an interesting topic for future discussion, it hasn't already been discussed, it seems like all these people who share their stories add that I have plenty more. Why do you think that is? Most people have no ghost stories, but then there are regular people who have dozens of them. I wonder if it's a state of mind, like you must be open to believing in ghosts or have an encounter to experience paranormal events, and then they kind of happen all the time? Kind of like in Beetlejuice, the living mostly ignore the strange and unusual. I myself am strange and unusual. Thoughts? Anyway, since I submitted this through the Tell a Story link, I can relate two events that happened when I was a little kid. At our very first house, I mean very little, like under 8 years old, I can't recall the actual age when this happened. I distinctly remember the vivid detail even to this day. I'm 34, seeing two men in my closet one night. It may have been a dream, but all I remember is seeing one tall, skinny man and one short, fat man wearing top hats. I don't remember what happened before, nor what happened after. I just remember seeing it and screaming. Years later, when I told my parents about it, they said it sounded like I was talking about Laurel and Hardy. I'd never seen that film before in my life that I recall, but after looking at pictures, I'm not sure if that's who it was. Either way, it was a creepy experience. Interestingly, I found out only recently that Mom also felt like there was something wrong with that house. She didn't have any experiences like I did, but she did have times where she felt uncomfortable for unknown reasons. The second experience I've had isn't so much a ghost story, but more like a WTF story. I think it fits in the world of paranormal, though. When I was a kid, the PC game Doom came out. I loved it. But one day, Mom watched me play it, and it was deleted, and the discs were taken that same afternoon. I was pretty pissed about it. I'd pretty much given up on it, but a few months after that happened, again, I don't recall what led up to it or what happened after it, I had a dream where I just walked into our hallway, stepped up a ladder, reached on the top shelf, and picked up the discs and pulled them down. The next day, I was hanging out at home, summer break, and I figured, what the hell? I set up my stepladder, reached up to the spot where the discs were in my dream, and sure enough, there they were. My parents never knew I'd found them. Generally speaking, I can't help but feel like dreams are far more than just random thoughts conjured up by your subconscious mind, especially if things like that happen. Anyway, thanks for the show. Back to listening.
It kind of makes you wonder if something was showing him in his dream where it was.
The demons in Doom. All the satanic symbolism and creepy, horrible stuff. I don't know. That'd be my mom's explanation. Anyway, I remember having this situation playing the game too. Oh, I don't like that on our computer. And I get it. There's a lot of weird imagery in it and creepy, pixelated at best, but it's Doom. I get, you know, you're not used to seeing that stuff on your screen and maybe don't want it on your screen in your house. But, I mean, things have gotten far worse in terms of games than that ever was. But
sure.
Yeah, I get the mom of the era doing that.
Yeah, I think I'd probably have been like that, too.
Yeah. His first question about ghosts and people seeing them frequently.
I think it's more to do with sensitivity. I know I've talked about this quite a bit, but it's kind of an ability that you have. I feel like you either have it or you don't. And then once you realize you have it, then it seems to up your chance of seeing other things. So it's not so much necessarily being open to it, because there's plenty of people that don't want to see things and don't want to feel things. And they just get found by these things.
Some people could have some advice to give on how to be insensitive.
That's nice.
Anyone? Anyone know the artist of that?
No.
You know the artist of that?
I remember the song, but I don't know.
Jan Arden.
Oh, okay.
There you go. We had one of our episodes recently was called Sensitive or Sensitivity or something. And I that came to mind. I'm like, I got to listen to that song. I haven't heard that forever. I'm like, gosh, I'm replaying this a lot. And it was, and that's one of those songs that you played the heck out of it, then just kind of went into the ether.
Uh-huh.
So there you go.
Yeah. I don't remember ever wanting to listen to that song. It was just always on.
Exactly. There were so many like that. Where it's, mm-hmm. That's the definition of a good chunk of 90s pop rock.
Yeah.
You know, I was never into much of the pop rock in the 90s, especially kind of the one-hit wonders. Like, I enjoyed Matchbox 20.
Yeah.
I enjoyed some of that stuff. But there was just so many kind of like one-hit wonder artists that came out that had a semi-rocky, like it didn't fit rock radio. Mm-hmm. It kind of, you know, it began to fit pop radio because it was going kind of rockish. But it was that. It was like, I'll be happy if I never hear this song again. But for some reason, the radio, they were just mediocre songs. But they tested really well. And I think it's just because the melody gets in your head, and then radio stations would do their testing on what songs do you recognize? And all these people would say, I recognize that song. And then that told the program directors at the stations to go, oh, they love that song. Let's play that even more. When it's really kind of the opposite of how that works. But that was radio testing circa 1999. Join the email listener club or whatever they would have. And then you would tell the... How much do you recognize this song? And then they base their programming decisions off of 12 people. I'm not even joking. That's how a lot of it worked. Good times. I had a dream last night that I was working in radio again. I think it's because I was listening to old radio air checks last night.
Yeah, probably.
And it was, gosh, I don't even know where I was. It was like a top 40 station. And I was, because I was listening last night going, huh. I kind of missed top 40 radio of the 90s. It was fun. It was up tempo and just mm-hmm. boom, boom, boom. But it's like I could get, you know, if I were to play radio station for a half hour, I'd be done. And like, okay, I had my share. I'm my fix. But yeah, anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hazel writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. Big thanks again for choosing me as one of the winners for Oscar's audiobook. I love audiobooks, and Oscar stories are scary as hell, so it was a match made in heaven for me. Yeah, we did a contest like that a long time ago, didn't we? Yeah. I think that, so when, about when did this letter come in?
May.
May mm-hmm. of last year.
Yeah, that's where I'm up to.
Okay, that's about where we had it at.
It's May of 2017.
Okay, I remember that.
Yeah.
I kind of remember that anyway. Anyway, I wanted to tell you guys about some of the strange events. They're going on at my boyfriend's house. A little background, he lives in a particularly high crime area, very close to where the old dump used to be. Being a high crime area, you can bet your behind that there's been a lot more than rubbish dumped there over the years, and we both believe that this is a big factor in the paranormal events that occur in his home. I've always felt uneasy in his from the very first time I went there. I tried to ignore these things, telling myself it was just the darkness that unnerved me and not the things I felt lurking there. Feelings are easy to dismiss, however, but the knocking isn't. He has the attic room, and the attic space is easily reached from his room. Two of his walls are shared with his attic. Can't remember when it started, but occasionally we hear tapping on these walls coming from the attic. Sometimes it's hard and fast, sometimes it's slow. The taps seem minutes apart. Sometimes it even seems like the tapping is coming from odd angles, like the corner of the ceiling, and the taps can move with impossible speed from wall to wall. It happened so much that I started to think an unstable homeless person had broken in and taken up camp in the attic, but my boyfriend told me that there wasn't even a proper floor in there, and he had to walk on the beams. We still have no idea where the tapping is coming from. Admittedly, some of the tapping could have been sourced to my boyfriend's neighbor, but unless they have a trap door in its attic, a ladder, and some dedicated friends, they could not have been responsible for it all. Some of the small things have also happened. My boyfriend's door, which is, for the record, difficult even for me to open at times, has randomly popped open on occasion. He also has this desk chair. One day, when I came down, he told me he was watching TV the night before and the chair was in his line of sight. He sees his chair move back slightly, shift as though the invisible man had just made himself comfortable. My boyfriend is somewhat of an agnostic when it comes to his faith and the supernatural, however. That day, I think he found his faith. I still do feel highly uncomfortable in his home and can't wait until he moves out and we move in together. Love you, Tony and Jenny, and Real Ghost Stories family. Hazel from Ireland.
Yeah, I would think the knocking is something paranormal with everything else going on. And it's probably just trying to find a way in. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't answer it. I wouldn't look for what it is too much more.
Don't say, hey, come on in here, show me yourself and...
No.
Let's be ghost buddies?
No.
Yeah. Things could go downhill.
I would just look for a different place to live. I mean, in reality, too, it could be some sort of animal got up there, but it sounds like they've checked it out and they know that it's not.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. If they're already kind of on their track to be moving out,
mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, tough it out.
Yeah.
And then move on to the next place.
Right.
So thank you for that story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this program and you want some of our best episodes, those are our EPP bonus episodes. You get those over at ghostpodcast.com. And in exchange for getting those, you become an EPP member at $5 a month. That's all it is to support this show and keep it on the air. $5 a month, you get access to all, it's almost up to 200. We're really getting close to that number, EPP bonus episodes. Access to some of the classic episodes that you can't find anywhere else anymore. Also, exclusive video content, whole lot of stuff up there for EPP members. $5 a month. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. And help this thing stay on the air. Lindsay says, hey guys, really love y'all's podcast. Been listening to it for about a year. I was searching for podcasts on the real story of The Conjuring and stumbled upon your podcast. As you can tell, I'm from the South, Georgia to be exact. I live in a town about 45 minutes south of Atlanta. However, my story takes place in Perry, Georgia. These two stories occurred around the year 2001 and didn't happen to me, but to my dad. I was in the first grade when my dad accepted a new job as general manager at a bed and breakfast resort. The owner of the property has since died, and it was renamed. It was a beautiful place. Loved going and spending the night with my dad when he had to work overnight in early mornings. The property had all sorts of 18th-century houses and cottages, so me being a paranormal enthusiast, even in the first grade, would always joke about some of the homes being haunted. To my surprise, I was right. So the restaurant on property was named the Langston House, named after the family that owned the house before. And I'm not sure if she died in that house, but my dad and some of the resort staff saw a woman dressed in period-type clothing sitting at the bar in the restaurant. I thought it was odd, but nonetheless, didn't really pay attention to it until Mr. Schneider, who at the time owned the resort and property, told them about the history of the house. Sure enough, it was Mrs. Langston. My second story happened about a month or so later. My older sister was having her 16th birthday party sleepover at one of the other houses on the property, and my parents and I were staying at another house, which I think was one of the cottages. My dad, being the general manager, got up the next morning to help, being as it was New Year's and the property got busy. So there was a couple staying at the house next door to the one my sister and her friends were staying at for her birthday that saw something. They were woken up in the middle of the night to the sound of heavy footsteps and pacing. When they went to investigate, they saw a man walking up and down the staircase at 2 in the morning. It was odd to have someone walking up and down the stairs at 2 a.m. They asked the man if he was okay, and before they received an answer, he disappeared. Like I said earlier, I don't quite exactly know the history behind any of the houses or cottages, but I would really love to get y'all's thoughts. I'm not an EPP yet, but I plan to be before the year is over. Keep up the amazing work. Also, I love hearing stories about Harper. She sounds so cute. Have a great day.
I think anytime you have a property where a lot of people have come and gone and stayed and either had fun or not so much, like a resort, you know, you have, I think, maybe a little bit higher chance, especially an old one, of having something linger. And, you know, a lot of resorts, they kind of have a interesting history as far as the owners. And it's just something I'm not really that surprised by.
they, anytime you have an old building, you're going to have kind of, you know, feelings of the energy and the history there. I think it all kind of depends on who inhabited it and what type of spirit you're going to have. Could be very happy.
Yeah.
Like, we loved the place and we're still here. It could be, you know, this was a nightmare and we're still living it.
Well, resorts are, or any place where you have somebody that's not like a corporate, but somebody just individually that owns it.
Sure.
There's going to be a labor of love involved. So I think that really increases your chance of them coming back.
Yeah, I agree. If they liked it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that jump into that world of bed and breakfast and such thinking, oh, this will be great. And then it's like the worst job in the world.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never done it, so I can't say either way, but I have heard those stories. Uh-huh. And I have heard people who love it too. I think it's just kind of one of those things. It'd be one of those things, if you want to do it, you kind of like ask somebody who's doing it and going, can I just like shadow you for maybe a week or a month? Don't pay me, but I just want to see what this is like.
Sure.
And just get a better idea of it. I found some pictures from the creepy resort that I did my radio show from in Michigan yesterday when I was going through old stuff, the haunted creepy hotel. That's what I had in my mind when I was reading this story. And I looked a little bit younger. I had hair on my head, but I thought I had more on my head than I really did. I think that's what it comes down to.
Okay.
It took being several years older, and I don't know. Did you tell me like you should probably just shave your head? Or did I come up with that on my own?
I think you came up with it on your own. I think I talked you into not shaving it, but cutting it much shorter.
Uh-huh.
Because then you started, I think we started doing it on our own and you stopped going somewhere. And then you were like, why am I still going somewhere? And then you decided to shave it.
Yeah, that's right. Because the lady that was cutting my hair moved to a different place. And I never went to the other place that she went to. And I was just like, why am I paying to have my hair cut? I don't have much hair to cut.
I mean, your hair was not long by any stretch of the imagination. But
Michael
you,
Bolton.
No, it was not that. But you wore it a little bit fuller. Mm-hmm. When I first met you, then you started kind of just buzzing it real short, and then you started shaving.
Altogether?
I think, to me, because I've never seen you with a full head of hair, you would totally look weird.
I don't think I even had one then.
When?
When I was in Michigan.
Oh, okay.
I was looking back and like, I thought I had more hair than I did. It was always one of those things where, like, when I looked at myself in the mirror, I think the angle your eyes are at and you're seeing yourself at was deceiving. And then I'd always like look at pictures of me and be like, oh, it looks really thin. Like, there's light bouncing off of my scalp.
Yeah.
There should be hair there. When I look at myself in the mirror, there's hair there, you know. And I'm thinking, like, am I seeing a totally different person in the mirror than other people
it's
are seeing?
It's a special mirror that makes your hair look, you know, 5 years younger.
Only the real me comes out in photos.
Right.
It's the only way I can actually see myself right. Yeah. It's
like the stores that have the skinny mirrors, except
exactly.
It gives you hair.
Exactly. I think that's what I had going on. I was looking at those photos last night just thinking, or looking for anything, because I never really examined them very well. Because they were just like shots of, you know, you put on the website, hey, we were broadcasting here. And I didn't see anything.
No.
Long hallway shots of old creepy building, hotel, nothing.
Is that the place where you slept so well? Mm-hmm.
Best night of sleep I've ever had.
Yeah.
And then my co-host, who was across the hall, she said she was awake all night hearing people in the hallway. And we were the only ones there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never, it was paranormal in itself that I slept that well.
Yeah. I think something made you sleep that well.
Because I don't sleep that well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always getting up. I'm a very light sleeper. If there was any noise, I'd be awake. But I slept the entire night through. And she said there was something like there's a party going on out in the ballroom down the hall. Like, yeah, that's great. I'm going to sleep here more often. Yeah. Ghosts make me sleep well.
Wow. Could be.
Odd. Samantha writes in, all right, this is pretty weird. To prepare yourself, I was with my two siblings talking about scary past paranormal encounters at my house and even houses before the current. My brother went on to say that all his life he's felt that there's something attached to him. And at one point, his sensitive friend said he could see three spirits or things around him and they were talking at him. But she couldn't understand what they were saying. Freaked her out. As we talked more and more about that, I started feeling cold chills, and we even heard a bang. It was weird, so we started recording off our cheap Blue X Energy Plus phones in hopes that the microphone would pick up something, if anything at all. We asked several questions, like who is there, what do they want, are they attached to my brother, and so forth. We replayed the recording and actually had several clear responses. They were extremely loud and legible. And the craziest part is it was me. I'm a girl. My sister and my brother. So there was only one guy. The voice in the recording was a guy's voice. It responded quickly, legibly, and was clearly a man. He answered questions, and there was a point when we all went extremely silent, and you can hear a voice say, "Come back, please talk." To say the least, we were scared. That's not the scariest bit, though. The next day, we were showing our parents the recording, and they could hear the responses and stuff, too. After some time, my aunt calls. The first thing she says to my mom is, "We were all in the room together. Tell them to delete the recording and never contact whatever they did ever again. It's evil, pure evil. Please tell them to delete it and get sage." My mom was freaking out because she never told my aunt about the recording or the session. She asked my aunt how she knew, and my aunt said, "I had a dream. In my dream, the three kids, talking about my siblings and I, were sitting around each other trying to call upon a spirit. The spirit is evil. It could try to attach to them. Needless to say, we haven't listened to the recording since." But you can if you go to YouTube at search a certain thing.
I wouldn't listen to it either. I still kind of get freaked out when I think about some of the stuff we've had show up on calls that listeners have called in.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't by choice want to listen to something I know is paranormal.
Yeah.
You know, something that's either speaking or growling or making it sound like you're unloading a full load of dishes from the dishwasher. Whatever the hell that was.
Nonstop. For an hour. Yeah. Those are creepy things. Mm-hmm. Are you okay with just regular EVPs? Or no. It's just like, "What's your name?" "Chuck." You know.
I might be okay if it sounded just like that.
That's how it works.
And his name was something like Chuck or you know,
yeah,
Billy Bob, yeah, or something like that.
"We know you're here. What's your name?" "Cletus."
Right.
It's really good. I don't even have a recording thing. You just pick it up out of the thin air.
Yeah, I don't think I'd still be interested in that.
No.
No.
Well, there you go. I don't mind regular EVPs. It's the demonic, creepy, evil type ones that freak me out. That I'd be like, no, I don't need to hear that.
Yeah. So,
Donna writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm a huge fan and a long listener of your podcast. My story begins when I was about 13. Became close friends with a girl named Kristen who lived on this beautiful old house on the lake in Maine with tiny cabins behind it that brought in summer renters. I loved the house, but remember feeling uneasy about the staircase that went from the living room to the upstairs bedrooms. The house with a large screened-in porch was airy and cheerful, but those stairs gave off a strange feeling, like I was being watched or even being followed when going up them. One night, I slept over at my friend's room at the top of the stairs. After our long teenage girl whispers and laughing outbursts, we were yelled at to go to sleep by her mom. I've never been able to fall asleep easily, but eventually did, but was awakened soon after by the soft crying coming from the stairs. A light from downstairs made it possible to see a silhouette from someone sitting on the top step. So thinking it was my friend, I called out to her. I heard her grumpily reply, 'What?' from the top bunk. A chill went through me, and I knew it was a young girl with long, dark hair. My friend's mom had short hair, and Kristen was in the room with me. Nobody else was in the house. I honestly was so scared that I couldn't even yell out to Kristen in fear this thing would come after me. I listened to the crying for hours. Next morning, I told Kristen, and she shrugged it off and simply said to me, 'We don't talk about Liza.' Well, okay then, sleepovers would only be at my house. Now, there's a strange twist to this story. About 15 years later, I moved in with a new friend from work in New Hampshire. While telling ghost stories one night, she told me of a time when she was about 11 and visiting her aunt's one winter's night when her aunt left her to get a pizza nearby. As she waited, she was terrified to see a girl crying and pleading for help on the stairs. She ran outside and she stood in the snow waiting for her aunt, crying hysterically. Come to find out, it was the same old house on the lake in Maine."
It's a small world, and it's even smaller when it comes to some of this paranormal stuff.
Yeah.
I was wondering, Well, even though we didn't really get the story from the other person, but I think we will still get to a point where we will have stories about the same place, not necessarily a famous place, but mm-hmm. people being like, oh, I was there too. And yeah, this happened.
Well, we'll get questions. That house that was in the story in X town, and was it happened to be this one? And we don't normally have addresses or anything to cross-reference anything, but I think it'll happen.
Yeah.
You know, or if it already hasn't, you know.
Right.
You know. Thank you for that story. Emily writes, in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I've been meaning to send you the story for a long time, and I finally got around to writing it. I love your podcast so much. I've been listening for about as long as you guys have been making it. It'd be an honor to hear you read my experience on the air. Disclaimer, there's a lot of names in the story, so I apologize in advance if it's confusing. Anyway, here it goes. This is a story that I only personally experience bits and pieces of. For the most part, it belongs to my best friend, who we'll call Kathy. Kathy and I have been friends since we were 3 years old. We spent our childhoods together in a little town called Perrysburg, Ohio, until we were five. Kathy and her family, mom, dad, older brother, and older sister, lived in a house that was once the servants' quarters for the George Ross Ford Mansion in a neighborhood known as the Hamlet. The history on the estate is really interesting, even without the paranormal stuff, if you feel like learning more about it. I'm not sure exactly when they moved into the house, but it was Kathy's home from birth until aged five, which is an important detail that will become clear as this story unfolds. Kathy's siblings are 7 and 8 years old, 8 years older than she is, and her mom had no intention of having any more children when she got pregnant with Kathy. Soon after, her parents moved into the Hamlet house, which was a year or two before Kathy was born. Her mom, we'll call her Jane, and both of the children, Jake and Ava, started experiencing things that defied explanation. Out of nowhere, Jane started to hear a baby crying as if it were in the house, but there were no babies in the house. Soon the neighbors began to complain of hearing the baby as well, and they all became concerned that maybe there was an infant stranded in the ravine that flowed through the neighborhood. They even organized a search party to try and locate the baby, but turned up with nothing. Jane continued to hear crying, but ignored it, until one day she was walking Jane up the stairs to go to bed, when she stopped in her tracks and said, "Shh, do you hear that baby crying?" Jane and Jake continued to hear the baby for a long time, but Jane's experience with it went beyond the walls of the house. One afternoon, Jane went to visit her friend. When she returned home, she was greeted with a message from her friend, "You need to come back. You have to come get this baby." Jane's friend had been hearing the crying baby ever since Jane left. Jane returned to her friend's house to collect the baby, and once she was gone, her friend stopped hearing the crying. Meanwhile, Ava, Kathy's older sister, had developed a friendship with an invisible man named Henry. The six-year-old played and conversated with him constantly, in the manner that went beyond the typical imaginary friend scenario. The family also started to regularly see a woman standing at the bar in their living room. Feeling very insecure and confused, Jane decided to reach out to a psychic medium who agreed to come inspect the house. During her visit, the medium also heard the baby. She told Jane that the crying wasn't the sound of the baby from the past, but one of the future. She also said that there were several spirits in the home, but that they were harmless. Little while later, Jane unexpectedly became pregnant again. Cut to September 9th, 1986, the day Kathy was born. On that day, Kathy's grandmother was at the house watching Jake and Ava while Jane was in labor. Within the hour of Kathy's birth, her grandma went outside to get the mail. It was a clear, beautiful autumn day, but she was getting the mail. A tree fell and crushed her, rendering her paralyzed from the waist down for the rest of her life. After Kathy's birth, no one heard the disembodied crying baby anymore. I believe the infant was Kathy crying from a place either in the future or beyond our time. If the baby had been a ghost of the past, I think that after Kathy's birth, they would have heard its crying simultaneously with hers or on its own, separate from her crying. Aside from the crying baby phenomena, Ava continued to interact with Henry, the ghost, and even moved into the basement during her preteen years in order to be closer to him. There was a tunnel leading from the basement to the mansion, and I suspect that's where Henry may have died. As far as my own experiences go with the house, I have a couple of very clear memories of things that seemed normal at the time but are totally weird in retrospect. Kathy and I used to talk in the bathroom mirrors, talk to people in the bathroom mirrors. I can recall them as if they were right there with us. I also remember playing in her bedroom closet while a strange man stood in the corner. He wasn't threatening, he was just there. Kathy has the same memories. Every member of her family recounts this story down to the last detail, but Ava refuses to talk about it to this day, which is why I don't have more information about Henry or the reasons for moving into the basement. This experience is the number one reason for my interests in the paranormal. Kathy is and always has been very sensitive to the spirit world. Her current apartment is definitely haunted. I have more stories about that for another time. I think the fact that her spirit was crying out from the future means she's very special and in tune with the mysterious unseen aspects of our universe. Anyway, that's all for now. I'd really love to hear your thoughts on this story. Thank you so much for creating such a wonderful podcast. I listen every day. Peace and love, Emily.
It kind of makes you wonder if maybe Kathy has any memories from things that happened before she was born that she wouldn't know unless somehow she was there.
That's an interesting thought.
Just because I know we've had stories like that where people know things that there's no way they would have known, but they have these memories from before they were born.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, Kathy was, you know, if this was her in the future at the time and all she's able to do is cry, she probably doesn't have much of a memory, but it's not out of what we've talked about before with things being ghosts of the future.
Do you think you have a more of a chance of having memories of the past or the future if you were conceived in a DeLorean?
Oh, Tony.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay.
I was debating how to work that in. It's like, P.S., she was conceived in a DeLorean. Do you think that has anything to do with it?
Sure. That has everything to
do with it.
Yeah, I think just the fact something could be conceived in a DeLorean is paranormal in itself.
There's a movie, or is it a movie or a TV show I saw? Where there's some sort of time travel thing going on, and it involves a DeLorean again. I don't know what it, I just saw it like a flash preview of it the other day. I don't know what
it's
it was
a
for.
Movie, but it doesn't directly. I mean, it's not a ripoff of
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. It's like taking a lot of significant parts of movies and some. This kid experiences it. I don't really know.
Is it like is it a spoof movie or is it?
I don't think it's a spoof movie. I think it's like you're trapped in the movies.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
I think that's what I got from the preview.
Okay.
That may not be right at all.
Sure.
But that's what my takeaway was.
Even if it's not, that sounds like a good movie.
Yeah.
That would
I
be,
would watch that.
Totally. I would totally watch that.
Watch it'll not be that at all and it'll be horrible.
But now someone's going to come up with that movie.
Yeah.
That'd be probably an expensive one to make.
Stuck in the movies. A lot of rights.
All the rights. Yeah.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Vaughn writes, and hey, Tony and Jenny, I'm going to get to the point with you on this one because I'm sure you get tons of emails every day. But what all do you guys know about green orbs in photos? I know that if the orbs are green, it's a human spirit and associated with love and oneness with nature. I asked because in photos of my friend who passed away last year, we noticed that there are green orbs in all the photos of her, especially out in nature on a hike. But after she passed and her ashes were spread, there's several orbs taken at a rapid pace. There's a green orb that comes up out of the water and leaps into the air and back into the water, almost like she knew where she was. And she was happy that's where she would be resting. But what's a bit scary is that I talked to my friend about the situation at her apartment and began to mention the orbs in the photos. The whole mood in the apartment changed. Our once echoey apartment now sounds as if you were in a soundproof room. And by this, I mean when you would speak, your voice would echo throughout the apartment. Now everything was quiet, no echo. Temperature in the whole room dropped. My friend and I were extremely overwhelmed with sadness. Can feel a presence. It was very sad and angry. I saw what I believe was some sort of mass shoot across the living room, up against a wall, and end up behind my friend. I sat in fear, trying not to feed into what I just saw, but in a split second, my friend yells out in fear and jumps out of his seat. He told me someone just tried to throw him out of his chair. My friend isn't the type to be afraid of anything either. He's a pretty big and intimidating guy, but he was genuinely afraid. I could see it. in his eyes. Both of us experienced this overwhelming sadness and scary activity for the next hour or so. We decided to sleep in the living room, so we grabbed our blankets, and on our way to do so, my friend stopped, and I asked what was up. And he told me he saw a face in my room watching us as we passed that door. Scared the shit out of me, because I knew he wasn't messing with me. He was being honest. As we made our way back to the living room, I had to go back to my room, which was dreadful. I couldn't manage to get myself past the hallway because all I could feel was, what I want to say is being able to see, in a sense, was a presence standing in front of the bookshelf in mine and my girlfriend's room, where there is one of the shelves where a glass pendant hand blown with ashes of our friend who has passed. Was the spirit we felt that night of my friend? It would make sense speaking about her. Somehow, she heard us. The overwhelming sadness and anger would make sense, too, because we were in a new apartment, not the one she had lived in with us before. I believe she could have felt lost and confused being in a new place, not knowing where she was or not understanding completely that she was no longer in our physical world, which to me would also explain the outburst of anger trying to push my friend out of his chair. I feel like she was trying to get her attention, maybe as if she could see us clear as day and felt as if she was really there with us, but we didn't acknowledge that because all we felt was a presence. Could this be the case, or do you believe it was something not of this world that heard us and came through some sort of doorway unintentionally opened? I'd really love to get your guys' opinion on this. Please let me know what you think.
I don't really know.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
It's hard to know on an orb.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the most elusive, one of the most difficult to pinpoint down, and sometimes difficult to be able to confirm that it is something, because orbs can happen so frequently with cameras, and it's not an orb at all.
Mm-hmm.
But without knowing more story, more feeling, actually understanding more of the situation there, it could really be anything.
It could be. And I kind of wonder about the color of orbs. You know, you mentioned it being green. And I wonder, I know that people have written things about different colored orbs mm-hmm. mean different things. And I don't know if green's a threatening one or not, and what that really pertains to. Are you going to Google green orb?
Green orbs. The definition of orbs and what they mean. Green. In spiritual practice, green is associated with the heart. It's also associated with nature. Green orbs are sometimes thought to be an indication of a presence of a human spirit, as opposed to one that was never on earth or human form. Likewise, green orbs may represent love or oneness with nature. You're listening to NPR.
Well, maybe that's a little insight there.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm not good with orbs.
No, I'm not either.
Thanks for sharing. 855-853-4802 is our number. Jackie says, hello, I'm from Fondy 2. I grew up on the north side of Main Street and East Bank Street. The north side of our house was the old Zephyr gas station, and next to that, the Ford dealership.
Do you know what she's talking about?
No. Well, north side of Main. I know where the Ford dealership was. I don't think it's a Ford dealership anymore. I think that was gone when I was. I think this person's a bit older than me.
Okay.
So I think it's before my time. Behind our house was a single family home that was green. If you're picturing this, it's towards the park.
Okay.
Towards Lakeside Park. Behind our house was a single family home that was green. Next to our house was a Swindle family home that was white. And next to that was a one-story family home that was dark green, had an old shingle-type siding. It was kind of grainy. There was a grass area between the greenhouse and the last white house on the block. I'm pretty sure you know the area I'm talking about, in that little greenhouse my family moved in sometime in the early 80s. Okay, maybe not. I'm just bad at recognizing where places are in that town. A lot of the houses are fairly similar looking.
Yeah.
Family of four or five. I'm trying to think of the gas station. Anyway, I'm not sure of how many there were. My memory of those days is not the greatest. I had hung around with a lot of kids, and I was in my early teens. Okay, so they're a bit older than me, because I was not in my early teens in the early 80s. I was born. I came into the world.
People just assume you're a lot older than you are.
That's true.
I don't know why.
One weekend, their parents were away, and they decided to have some friends over. Someone brought out a Ouija board. I remember saying, those are dangerous. I'm out of here. Went outside to sit with a few other kids on the porch. Mostly bored because we were the square kids that didn't drink or do drugs. After a few minutes, we all heard a huge commotion in the house and ran to the door, literally throwing it open. One of the girls was standing there with an axe. I have no clue where she got it from. She was saying we all needed to die. And when I looked at her, I swear her eyes had a red tint to them. Could be wrong because it was so many years ago, but that's how I remember it. I yelled, did you say goodbye? And all I heard was yelling and screaming and everybody running out of the house. So I naturally took off and ran home too. Told my dad what happened and he told me, stupid kids. Now, aren't you glad I told you to read up on that stuff? And he did. I spent quite a bit of time in the library when I was younger because I loved, loved, loved to read. I didn't have many friends and I was the fat girl no one wanted to play with. So I would get lost in the world of books. I had read quite a few college-level books on just about every scary, evil, monster, ghost, and UFO I could find, Ouija boards included. I've never been so scared in my life, and I have, as I'd been in that house again. There you go. I recall the library in vivid detail of the 80s.
Okay.
They updated it in the early 90s. I miss the old-looking library. Probably mid-90s. But it was cool. Blue carpet and... I do think that the library has a haunted elevator, or had a haunted elevator back then, or just a malfunctioning one uh-huh. of the two. There's this little like balcony section up there, and it was in the adult reading section. And my mom would be looking for books and stuff, and I would just be sitting there on those little stools that were also the same type of stools you'd get at like a shoe store.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And you roll around on them. And I would just, you know, be going up and down the aisles, and my mom would be like, you're making too much noise, you know, but I'd always kind of gravitate over by this elevator, and the elevator quite often would just, you know, it's only two stories, but it would go to the second story and just open and no one would be there. Now, there could have very well been a child at the bottom story doing the same thing, pressing up uh-huh. and then just, you know,
and taking off,
letting it go. Mm-hmm. But I always found that very odd that the elevator just kind of did its own thing.
Yeah.
In that library. It was a fun library. The new one, I've been into like once or twice, and it's nice, but it's something about kind of your childhood library and the oldness of it. And mm-hmm. just, you know, whatever your childhood library was, that's going to be the one you probably like best. But they had to change it all up, make it better.
Yeah.
Damn library. But it was, they had a bookmobile too that was pretty fun.
You still like to stop at the bookmobile when we go up there.
I don't think they run it anymore. I think that died.
But it was outside of a festival.
Was it?
A couple years ago.
Yeah, a couple years ago. I think that that was actually like a permanent stop for it.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't know that it runs all that well. but I think like they just like put it there as like a branch uh-huh. location. But it used to be where it would like be like, okay, it's going to be parked in front of this school from 3 to 4 on Wednesdays. And I remember many a times we would go to the bookmobile to get our books. Mm-hmm. I remember being stuck in the bookmobile once during tornado warning.
Oh, because that's a great place to be.
It's a great place to be. And this is before, you know, you had cell phones with radar sure. and everything. And we knew it was going to like kind of rain or storm. There's no TV stations in that town to give you accurate weather. It's, you know, Green Bay or Milwaukee mm-hmm. forecast. And it's smack dab in the middle. And we knew like, oh, there might be a thunderstorm or something, but I don't think they thought anything of it. And we're in there and all of a sudden it starts hailing. It's like, oh, I better wait here until we go back to the car.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you hear the sirens going off. It's like we're stuck in the bookmobile. I'm going to die in the bookmobile yeah. if I'm mangled amongst copies of Choose Your Own Adventure. But luckily I lived.
Yeah.
Lived to tell another ghost story. There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for keeping us on the air. We greatly appreciate it. If you like the program, become an EPP, extra podcast person over at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of the show and so much more. $5 a month is all it is. And that is what keeps us on the air. So please do check that out and please do help to support this program that you enjoy listening to. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.